I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Buckeye Talk. I am your host, Stephen Means, and I am the only host here today. As you all know, Nathan is on baby duty right now, and Doug is off doing math or whatever he's doing. I don't know. Doug's always doing something weird. We're doing a special episode today, a recruiting episode with obviously Ohio State and Notre Dame playing each other first. They're not just, you know, preparing to play each other on the field. They've actually been getting in each other's way a lot during this recruiting cycle for 2023. So I am joined by one of our former stringers who is now working for the Notre Dame rival site Inside Indy Sports, and that is Kyle Kelly. Say hello to the people, Kyle.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Steven, thanks for having me on. This is pretty cool. I was an avid listener back in the day or not too long ago, probably as early as 2 months ago. So I'm really excited about this opportunity and to talk a little Notre Dame, Ohio State recruiting.
It's your first time on Buckeye Talk, isn't it?
It is, actually. Yep.
Okay, cool. We're not going to make this weird Buckeye Talk. So let's just kind of get into it. Let's get to some of the fact first. Obviously, Notre Dame, as we're recording this, has the number one recruiting class in the country, which I'm not sure anybody would have predicted coming into May that Notre Dame would be in this position. Marcus Freeman taking over as the head coach there for Brian Kelly has made some headway there. Just from your perspective as a person who is now covering that, how is that? I guess a simple way to put it is how are things going? Is the coaching staff happy with where they are heading into May as we get closer to when we start seeing more official visits? What is the vibe around Notre Dame and how this 2023 class is being built?
Yeah, I mean, I think the vibes are absolutely outstanding. You know, they pretty much had a decent class going, you know, into the new year with Brian Kelly. I think they had about five commitments, including a five-star Keon Keeley, who started off the class, and he was kind of he's been the high-profile guy in this class. I know that's someone Ohio State's targeting, but I mean, the vibes are just unbelievable around Marcus Freeman. This is a guy that in his first press conference, you know, his introductory press conference, you know, he said that, you know, he's going to be the number one primary recruiter for every single guy. And that seems to be the case. There's a lot of kids I talk to that say they talk to Marcus Freeman a significant amount compared to any other head coaches around the country. And this is actually something that, you know, when I was covering Ohio State, was something frequent with kids as well that they said, you know, they were speaking to Ryan Day pretty frequently. So, you know, Marcus Freeman has taken a great approach in recruiting. And going back to that, the introductory press conference, immediately after that press conference, you know, he left in the same suit and tie, and he was on the West Coast in Wisconsin, or he went from Wisconsin then to the West Coast, that is. It was recruiting guys that same day during the contact period. So he's really taken it to heart. You know, I think that Marcus Freeman's done an outstanding job being able to retain guys. Even, you know, Brian Kelly left before that 2022 class was able to sign. Mm-hmm. And Notre Dame only lost, you know, three guys. You know, one guy was a safety from Florida, was kind of considering other options anyway. But other than that, I mean, the two guys they lost were great wide receivers, and that's been a big problem for Notre Dame trying to develop depth. But, you know, in terms of everything else, you know, they're already going, got things going the 2024 class. You know, Notre Dame has the highest average star rating of commits in the 2023 class. And I think there's a lot of great things here with the way this is trending.
Obviously, Notre Dame's been to some playoffs, and they weren't irrelevant before Marcus Freeman took over there. I mean, Brian Kelly did a very good job. But from a recruiting standpoint, it's felt like Ohio State could do what it wanted in the Midwest for basically since Jim Tressel showed up. And Ryan Day has almost emphasized the idea of, we want to lock down our state first and get some of these top 100 kids who live in our backyard, and then we'll build around those guys. And it felt like last summer there was an opportunity, even before Marcus Freeman took over as the head coach, where it felt like guys like Luke Montgomery and Sonny Styles, before he reclassified to the 2022 class, and Josh Padilla, and on down the list, we weren't sure whether or not the Marcus Freeman effect was going to take off. Obviously, they ended up getting Brennan Vernon, so you get one of the top four players in Ohio. Have you seen that shift in momentum, not necessarily in 2023 because Ohio State was able to do what it did and lock those guys down, but have you seen that emphasis from Marcus Freeman be put on not just the Midwest, but on Ohio specifically, and maybe breaking up and breaking down some of those walls that Ohio State has successfully put up over the last two decades?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of with you. I thought that Ohio or Notre Dame really had a chance to go into Ohio and get some of these guys. And I think the perfect example was in the 2023 class with Austin Saraveld, who committed, I think it was last week. Mm-hmm. This is a guy that Notre Dame made the decision way harder than, you know, he ever expected. And, you know, he ended up staying closer to home and picking Ohio State in the end. I know he told our rivals, Zach Carpenter, who covers Ohio State, and I'm sure you've heard the same, that, you know, he feels, you know, more comfortable at Ohio State and at home. So that was a really interesting recruitment there. And I think that, you know, Notre Dame made things really difficult on him. And it, with the 2024 class, you know, I think it's kind of too hard to tell. It's a little bit early yet. But you know, Marcus Freeman, I mean, Notre Dame has taken a national recruiting approach. This is, you know, it's pretty much been outlined this week. They've been on the road all across the country. I know they're actually in Cleveland today recruiting some guys. But, you know, they offered Bryce West from Glenville, a 2024 cornerback, who I know Ohio State is obviously really high on. So, I mean, Glenville has obviously been a Ohio State pipeline throughout the years. And I know it's been a couple years since Ohio State's been able to kind of tap into that pipeline. But, I mean, Marcus Freeman's taken his swing on those sorts of guys. You know, Bryce West, kid that, you know, it seems like everyone feels like is going to go to Ohio State. But, you know, Marcus Freeman's going to take his shot. And I think that he's going to continue to do that, you know, as these classes really shape up.
We see that often, the top 100, top 200, top 300 Ohio guy gets the Ohio State offer, and then everybody wants to throw their crystal balls at Ohio State and say, oh, it's only a matter of time. With obviously, you said it's too early with Bryce West, which, yeah, you're right, it's a 2024 kid, and this might take some time. But with a guy like Austin Saraveld, you said it yourself that Notre Dame made that a lot harder than maybe most of us thought it would have been. Was there a point where it felt like Notre Dame would actually pull this off?
Yeah, I thought that coming off his second Notre Dame visit, which took place in April, I talked to some people close to Austin and Austin himself, and they really liked Notre Dame. And I think that, you know, right around that time is when Notre Dame began to get, you know, really serious consideration. That was also the same time on that visit they got to meet Harry Hiestand, Notre Dame's offensive line coach. And I know the Saravelds, their family was blown away by Coach Hiestand. And a lot of people did not know where Austin Saraveld was gonna choose. I know that when he announced his commitment date and talking to people from both Ohio State and Notre Dame that day, no one knew where Saraveld was gonna pick. But I don't think it was really a surprise that in the end he chose Ohio State. But, you know, Notre Dame was definitely in a legitimate consideration. You know, I know coming off that Ohio State visit, the Buckeyes were just kind of joking with him, like, hey, don't go to Notre Dame. Like, you know, the best guys, you know, best guys in Ohio stay in Ohio to play. And they were kind of joking with him, you know, like telling him not to go to that Notre Dame visit. But even though there was a little joke, there was some seriousness in that as well, because I know Ohio State was a little bit concerned that he could end up at Notre Dame. So there was definitely a possibility that he ended up with the Irish, but obviously he just felt more comfortable playing closer to home and playing for a team he grew up rooting.
You brought up the fact that Marcus Freeman is recruiting nationally, and you mentioned Keon Keeley by name. Keon Keeley, when he committed last summer, was not the number nine player in the country, five-star recruit. Now, he was clearly headed on his way there, but it seemed like Notre Dame got in on that early before the rest of the world kind of figured out what he was. And since then, he's risen up the rankings and he's taken visits. He's obviously been to Ohio State. He's been to some other campuses as well. How firm, I guess, is that commitment right now? And is Notre Dame at all worried that this summer Keon's going to start taking official visits to some other places and that maybe isn't as strong as it was maybe even 6 months ago?
So I think there was absolutely some concern this spring when Keon, probably going back to the winter, when Keon started visiting schools. I know he saw Alabama, Florida, and then Ohio State was able to get him up on campus. And there's definitely been some concern, but I think within the last couple of weeks, Notre Dame's started to feel a lot better about Keon Keeley. He came up for the spring game, and before the game, he was on the field and he was signing autographs with fans and going up to the stands, and he was having a great time. And when he came down from the stands onto the field, there were a group of reporters there, and you know, just walking by us, I don't know if this was intentional or not, but he said that, you know, he's never felt this way before. So I think that for Notre Dame, you know, that visit really kind of solidified some things. But for Keon Keeley, with a guy of this caliber, you know, with teams of the caliber such as Alabama and Ohio State coming after him, I don't think they're really going to feel good about him unless he tweets out that he 100% is, you know, locked in and shutting things down completely. And, you know, furthermore, until he signs in December. So I had this recruitment. I mean, although Notre Dame is in a great spot, they continue to feel like they're in a great spot. Other teams aren't going to stop recruiting him. And that's, you know, been the case so far. In terms of official visits, we have not heard if Keon Keeley has set up any official visits. I believe, you know, just looking at the unofficials that he's taken so far, that, you know, those are going to be in consideration. But as of right now, Notre Dame feels great about Keon Keeley, and I think that's going to continue to remain the case unless things start trending in another direction.
And Al Washington's heading up that recruitment since he showed up.
Yeah. Coach Washington, obviously the linebackers coach for Ohio State now, at defensive line. So he's played a big role with Keon now.
What's been his impact since he showed up? Because from an Ohio State's perspective, I think he did a good job recruiting at Ohio State, but it came with the caveat of, well, everybody he got was in state, you know, Reed Carico, CJ Hicks, Gay Powers, even when Desaun McCullough was still an Ohio State commit, that's a guy with strong Ohio ties. It didn't feel like he was getting guys that wouldn't have come to Ohio State regardless of who the position coach was. So have, now that he's not necessarily in his own backyard as an Ohio native, what type of recruiting impact have you seen him be able to have past just a guy like Keon Keeley?
Yeah, I've actually been really impressed. And this was something I was a little bit concerned about when Al Washington joined the Notre Dame staff, is I was a little bit worried, you know, would he be able to get some of the top guys around the country? Because as you pointed out, he really wasn't doing that at Ohio State. A lot of the guys that Al Washington was able to get were those in-state kids, you know, some kids that ironically Notre Dame was targeting as well. But since coming to Notre Dame, he has landed three defensive line commits, you know, some pretty talented ones as well. They landed two interior guys within the last couple weeks, and Boubacar Traore and Devin Houston, who are both high four-star rated guys, and I think are going to be really talented players. And obviously Keon Keeley and Brennan Vernon, the two other defensive line commits in the 2023 class, they've remained really firm on their pledge. Brennan Vernon has not shown absolutely any indication that he's interested in going elsewhere. And so, you know, Coach Washington has
really been able to, you know, not only keep those guys in the class, but he's also had some great ones as well. And when I really started to feel great about Al Washington was after the spring game, when there was a 2024 kid by the name of Brendan Davis Swain from Michigan that kind of made a surprise, unexpected visit. The only reason he was visiting was because he was going to be in Indianapolis on Sunday. So he just happened to stop at Notre Dame on Saturday. He's a kid that is got five-star potential. He's a really great talent. And after his time spent in Al Washington's office and talking to him, he committed to Notre Dame on the spot. And that commitment was 100% fueled by Al Washington and no one else. So, you know, I've been really impressed with what he's been able to do, keeping the guys in the class and also adding some other ones as well. And I think that there's even going to be a potential for some more top-end recruits to, that are defensive linemen to choose Notre Dame because of the relationships with Al Washington.
So, obviously, just looking at Notre Dame's commitment list and then the way we're talking about Al Washington and we're talking about Marcus Freeman, those are defensive guys. You know, Notre Dame's head coach is a defensive guy. Is it a fair thing to say that the defensive recruiting for Notre Dame has come easy because the guy in charge of it just is still the guy there technically, while the offensive recruiting has maybe needed to take a little bit of time?
Yeah, so, I mean, some of these guys were already committed before Marcus Freeman was elevated as head coach, which in turn Marcus Freeman was the defensive coordinator. So he landed some of those guys. But with the offensive recruiting, I don't know if it's necessarily a factor of, you know, Marcus Freeman being a defensive minded head coach. And the reason I say that is because, you know, Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator, he's been at Notre Dame for, I think, 5 years now. He's been the offensive coordinator for, I believe this will be his third season. So Tommy Reese has been there. And the way Marcus Freeman has kind of structured his coaching staff is, you know, he's the CEO now. They hired Al Golden, you know, a former head coach at Miami and Temple. And, you know, Coach Golden was in the NFL most recently with the Bengals as a linebackers coach. And, you know, Marcus Freeman brought him in with the mindset that Golden is – his fingerprints are on that defense. That defense that Notre Dame is going to run, that's Al Golden's defense. And then as far as the offense, Tommy Reese, that's his offense. The guys that they hired, Dylan McCullough, the running backs coach who came from Indiana, and then Chancey Stuckey, who came from Baylor – Tommy Reese basically made both of those hires. He picked both of those guys. And, you know, obviously Coach Freeman had to sign off on those hires, but Tommy Reese is really taking control of the offense. And even though things have kind of been a little bit slower on the offensive side, I mean, I believe they only have three offensive commits in, or actually four out of their 12 commits in the class are on offense. You know, I also think a little bit the reason why it's taken longer on offense is because they don't have their quarterback commit, and they've zeroed in on one guy, and that's Dante Moore, the five-star that I know Ohio State has offered and is recruiting as well. But yeah, I think that, you know, for Marcus Freeman, you know, obviously he's the guy, but I wouldn't necessarily say because he's a defensive minded guy, which is what, you know, the reason why Ohio or Notre Dame has not been able to add a lot of offensive guys to this point.
So let's get into that since you brought up Dante Moore. Great segue. You're already better at this than Doug and Nathan are. Don't tell him I said that. obviously, Dante Moore, five-star quarterback, number three quarterback, number five player in the country, a guy with Cleveland ties, and typically a guy like that, even if he's living in Michigan territory, would sound like somebody Ohio State should be able to go get. But also, Ohio State has a Heisman Trophy finalist coming back. They've got a five-star sitting behind them, a top 60 recruit sitting behind them, and now a five-star sitting in the 2024 class, which puts Ohio State's 2023 situation in a bit of a pickle.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Has Notre Dame taken advantage of that with Dante Moore and the fact that this seems like a guy who might be able to come in and compete to win the starting job right away at Notre Dame, while at Ohio State, he might have to sit 2 or 3 years?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really interesting with the teams Dante Moore is considering. You know, he hasn't come out and made a public top schools list, but, you know, teams like Notre Dame, LSU, Oregon, and, you know, he even spoke extremely highly of Ohio State when I saw him at the Elite 11 in early April after coming off his Ohio State visit. But, you know, with the caliber of quarterback Dante Moore is, and, you know, he is very talented at being able to watch him play. You know, I think he is going to want a school where he can show up to campus and compete for the job day one. And you kind of outlined it at Ohio State. It's extremely competitive there. I mean, at Notre Dame, they pretty much, you know, had a quarterback competition coming into the spring with between Tyler Buchner and Drew Pine. And now it, coming out of the spring, you know, unfortunately Buchner wasn't able to play in the spring game, but it just, the feeling I think is that, you know, Buchner is most likely going to be the starting quarterback in September at Ohio Stadium. But, you know, I think that Notre Dame, I have not heard that they're using, you know, like the come in and play pitch to him to their advantage. But I certainly just kind of looking at it as you know, someone on neither side between Dante or Notre Dame, that, I mean, how could you not find that as an attractive option to, you know, really come into Notre Dame where, you know, Tyler Buchner, he's, you know, certainly a good quarterback with a lot of potential, and, you know, he's going to have a great opportunity to lead that offense this year. But, you know, I don't think that Dante Moore coming to campus, Notre Dame, you know, I think he'll have an opportunity to compete for the job. Whereas, you know, other schools such as, you know, Ohio State, for example, you know, he would maybe have to wait a year or two.
How much time has Dante spent on Notre Dame's campus over the last 6 months here? Obviously, he took officials to LSU and in Oregon in April. How much time has he spent on Notre Dame's campus just from an unofficial standpoint?
Yeah, so he's been up a couple times over the last year, but as far as the last 6 months, his most notable visit was a two-day unofficial at the end of March. His high school, Martin Luther King, was on spring break that week. Mm-hmm. So it ended up working out where he was able to take 2 days at Notre Dame, and it's because they asked him to visit for 2 days. Ironically, Dante Moore actually told reporters at the Elite 11 that he brought up Ohio State, for example, that if Ohio State asked him to visit for 2 days, that he would actually consider visiting for 2 days. But, you know, the Ohio State just had him on campus for April 2nd. I think it was that weekend, ironically. But, you know, Dante Moore was at the Cincinnati game, Notre Dame-Cincinnati game in early October. And then, you know, like I said, he spent those 2 days unofficially at Notre Dame. And some of his reasoning behind it was, you know, he just wanted the opportunity to spend a night there in South Bend and be able to wake up. And his dad used a saying of, you know, wake up and see how the sun shines on the Golden Dome. And, you know, they just really wanted the opportunity to spend a full 2 days at Notre Dame and get that experience and feel what it's like to be on campus and, you know, a quote unquote member of the program, so to speak. And, you know, although Notre Dame asked him to visit for 2 days, I think that really spoke to the type of look that he's giving to Notre Dame. I think he really is seriously considering them. You know, his dad told me that they are a high level option, and he's kind of echoed that as well. So Dante's been to campus once in March, and I know Notre Dame is really hoping to get him on campus for an official visit sometime in June. And, you know, Dante himself said that, you know, he will use one of his 5 official visits to Notre Dame. It's just a matter of knocking down a date.
So from an Ohio State perspective, when it comes to how they handle their official visits in June, I think at this point, everybody knows there's always a weekend where that's the big party weekend. You know, obviously there are people there every weekend, but we've had the Buckeye Bash, you've had the Buckeye Bash 2.0. The June 24th weekend is turning up to be whatever they want to call it this year. They haven't come up with a name, but there's always that weekend when you know it's going to be five-star galore walking around here, and there might be a lot of quote-unquote booms that come out of that weekend. How does Notre Dame want to approach their official visits? Do they want to, you know, are they going to take the Ohio State approach where it's, we want to do the bulk of this in the summertime where we can focus solely on that? Or do they want to have people coming on game day visits? Do they, has that kind of vibe been shared at all, like how they want to handle official visits?
Yeah, so Notre Dame has pointed all of their guys to one weekend in June. It's the weekend of June 10th to the June 10th through the 12th, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend. And I'm not sure, is Ohio State also looking at that weekend, or are they early or later in June this year?
No, theirs will be June 24th. That'll be their their biggest one of the summer.
Right, so that's what I thought. So Notre Dame, I don't know if they intentionally did it this way, but they're looking at that weekend to bring all the top guys on campus. Notre Dame has all the commits coming to campus that weekend, and basically all the top targets as well. The only top target that I know for Notre Dame that won't be able to come that weekend is a guy by the name of Jaden Greathouse, top 100 wide receiver out of Texas. But yeah, the Notre Dame's going to have all the commits on campus, a couple of high profile targets as well, such as Christian Gray, who I know Notre Dame's targeting. He'll be on campus. I know Notre Dame is also hoping to get Jason Moore on campus for that weekend, who's a high-profile defensive lineman. So, yeah, with officials, I mean, and Notre Dame has never said, like, hey, yeah, you know, you can't come, you know, on so-and-so date, whereas I know, you know, Clemson, for example, I'm pretty sure they only allow kids to officially visit on game days. But, you know, if there was a kid that wanted to visit on a game day, Notre Dame would certainly – you know, be open to that, or, you know, at some other point in the summer. But Notre Dame has really pointed all the kids to that weekend.
You brought up Christian Gray. That's another guy Ohio State is very high on, right outside the top 100. Not necessarily with a Christian Gray question, but just more of from a national standpoint, what states, from your opinion, do you feel like Notre Dame has started to really have some success in, even if it hasn't necessarily turned into commitments yet? Where have you seen Marcus Freeman start to make his imprint around the country and other areas?
I think the one that's been pretty impressive so far is Texas. Notre Dame has two commits from the state in the class, and I know they're going to be targeting a couple of others. You know, I mentioned Jaden Greathouse, who is a wide receiver from Texas. That's a guy that's a high priority guy for Notre Dame. And they also have another receiver committed from Texas in Braylon James, a kid that I think Ohio State's offered. But I think with Brian Hartline, he kind of is able to pick and choose his guys at this rate. So I'm not exactly sure how high Braylon James was on Ohio State's board, but he ended up choosing Notre Dame. So I think Texas has been the one that is really impressive. And another one is Massachusetts. Notre Dame has been able to land Preston Zinner and Boubacar Traore from there. And I know that, you know, this is a state that they're ironically going to try to take advantage of, or a region rather, with Al Golden, who kind of comes from that area. So they're going to hit that area pretty hard. But North Carolina is another state that Notre Dame is looking to kind of tap into. They have one offensive lineman committed already, and they're looking to get another one hopefully by the end of the week. And that's a state that the coaches have really spent a lot of time in. And, you know, kind of the same token there, Monroe Freeling, who's from South Carolina, you know, that's another player that they're really highly targeting. So kind of combining the Carolinas together, Texas, and some of those states out on the East Coast, I think that Notre Dame is really trying to take advantage of, you know, just furthering that thought a little bit. You know, they have a guy committed from New Jersey, also another guy committed from Maryland, who's ironically originally from Canada. But those are some of the states I think that Marcus Freeman's been able to be successful in so far, and some of the states that they're trying to continue to hit.
Couple more individual players I want to get into before I let you go here. First, let's start with the offensive line, since you brought up Massachusetts, which just so happens to have a five-star offensive tackle in it. in Samson Okunlola. And then obviously, you know, not too far down the road, you've got Chase Besantis, you brought up Monroe Freeling. These are all guys that Ohio State is in on as well. If you had to think of an order of priority for Notre Dame on where those three fall on it, how would you rank them? And what do you think their chances are with each of those guys as we head into the summer?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously all three of those guys are super talented, but just kind of thinking things with Notre Dame. And I think this is the case with a lot of the top teams in the country is Samson Okunlola has really caught a lot of teams' eyes. And I know it's been frustrating for some teams that they haven't been able to get them up on the campus. And that's been the case with Notre Dame. I know that's been the case at Ohio State, although I do know that he is considering an official visit to Ohio State. I'm not sure if he's locked that date in yet. But so I think that's a guy that Notre Dame really wants, but there really just have not been a whole lot of traction there. And I think that because of that, Notre Dame has moved on to some other targets. They just had a guy by Sam Pendleton commit. He's kind of a versatile guy last week, who's a little bit lower of a four-star, but still a Rivals 250 guy. And then they're hoping to get another four-star committed in the class, and who's a tackle, and Sullivan Apsher on Friday. So that kind of tells me that they really have not had a lot of luck with Samson Okunlola. But I think he would be the top want, so to speak. And I think not too far behind him is probably Monroe Freeling. And the rankings, they're, I believe they're right, you know, basically 1A, 1B sort of thing, at least in the Rivals rankings. And I believe Notre Dame kind of views them as well. You know, Freeling's another super talented guy that is probably going to project as a true tackle at Notre Dame. And I think they feel like they're in a great spot with him. I know Ohio State recently offered him a couple months ago, but I would probably put Chase Besantis last at this rate. You know, he dropped I think it was a top eight at the beginning of April, and Notre Dame was actually surprisingly not in the mix for him in that top eight. I think that kind of surprised a lot of people, being that, you know, Chase Besantis, Don Bosco Prep, I think that's in New Jersey there, certainly on the East Coast. But yeah, so I think a lot of people were surprised he didn't choose Notre Dame in that top schools list. And it looks like he's kind of really taking a national approach to his recruitment with the type of profile player he is. I know he's been to Georgia and Miami recently. So I think that's kind of the order I would rank Notre Dame for those guys with Notre Dame. But I think that Monroe Freeling is probably their most likely option at this point.
So one more guy. I think this one is probably the most interesting one because a lot has changed over the last 8 months. Well, really almost over the last year. I think initially when Carnell Tate set that commitment date for October 8th, it was an Ohio State Notre Dame race and who was going to win that battle. As a kid who, yes, he's at IMG, but he's from Chicago. He knows Caleb Brown very well, which you've talked to back when you were still working with us. And obviously a lot has changed since then in terms of who is involved in this race. Obviously Tennessee getting an official visit in April and basically becoming a real player in this for reasons that we don't need to get into on this pod, and LSU getting involved in this, and Bama, and on down the list. I know from Ohio State's perspective, they still feel good about where they are with Carnell Tate, and all this is great, but they still feel like they have a real shot, especially if he takes an official visit this summer, coming off that unofficial in April. Does Notre Dame still feel like they're in that race? And I mean that from both a from his perspective, does he still view them as one of his top suitors? But also, has Notre Dame, as you talked about with Samson Okunlola, where they just kind of moved on the other options, does Notre Dame feel like they're still in this race and still need to be putting resources towards it?
So as far as, you know, Carnell Tate, you know, publicly he has announced, you know, he put a top five at the end of March, and he had Notre Dame as one of those teams. Ironically, he released that top five on his most recent Notre Dame visit. I think it was that Tuesday before St. Patrick's Day, like March 15th, I think. But yeah, so, you know, he was really considering Notre Dame to that point. But similarly to Ohio State, I think that Notre Dame's at the point where he's been to campus six or seven times. And it's gotten to the point like you know, speaking from Notre Dame's perspective, where they've really showed him pretty much everything, and they've kind of maxed out, you know, in terms of the resources, you know, what can they, you know, what else can they show him? How else can they recruit him? What more of a pitch can they make to him? You know, obviously he's one of the most talented players in the country, regardless of position, and teams are really recruiting him that way. But I really think that over the last month here, this is kind of shaped up to be an Ohio State-Tennessee battle. And, you know, even before the Tennessee official visit, and before they got Nico from California, I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, but everyone knows
him. I am Oliva, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I've heard I am Oliva. I've heard a bunch of other variations as well, yeah. But you know, Carnell Tate was considering Tennessee, you know, before they, you know, really kind of sparked that potentially high level deal of NIL. And I know NIL has been in the conversation, but you know, a lot of schools, you know, there's NIL opportunities. So I think this has really become an Ohio State Tennessee race. And in terms of Notre Dame, I know they were down in his school in January. IMG, obviously, you know, spending some time there, but it's almost like a situation where they've pretty much put all they could into this. You know, I don't believe Carnell Tate's going to officially visit Notre Dame. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case at Notre Dame as Ohio State as well, where it's pretty much his scene everywhere he's needed to see. And now it just simply is going to have to come down to, you know, when is he going to make a decision?
How has NIL impacted Notre Dame from a recruiting standpoint?
So I think that, you know, from the outside looking in, a lot of people don't think that Notre Dame has been a heavy player at as far as NIL. And I know that in talking to some recruits that, you know, they Notre Dame is a little bit behind the curve. But that was, you know, a couple months ago. And I think now within the you know, basically in April and May, they've really made a strong push with NIL. You know, former quarterback Brady Quinn helped set up a collective with Notre Dame. So that's going to be playing a big role moving forward. And, you know, ironically, people, you know, the feeling is that, you know, like I mentioned, Notre Dame isn't really much of a player in this space as, I guess some may have thought, but recently, you know, there's been a lot of Michigan fans who have kind of claimed that the reason Notre Dame has been able to get a lot of these guys is because they're the lucrative opportunities behind NIL. So from what I heard, this is not something that Notre Dame is pitching to recruits that whereas, you know, some of those schools in the SEC that, you know, they may have opportunities to play for the big bucks, and you know, they could certainly possibly be pitching it that way, but I don't think Notre Dame's approach is to sell kids on NIL and use that as a recruiting tool to come to Notre Dame. I think more so it's an opportunity that once they're committed to Notre Dame, this is the amount of resources that you're going to have at your disposal, and you know, if you use them, it could be very profitable.
Kind of lastly here, because the whole point of why we're doing this is because these two teams play each other first. What, in your opinion, from a recruiting standpoint, if Notre Dame comes into Columbus on September 3rd and wins that game, and you combine it with what Notre Dame is already doing on the recruiting trail, what can that do for that program as it tries to – Marcus Freeman is kind of not so subtly throwing some jabs at Ohio State already. What can a win like that do for that program from a recruiting trail?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think it has the potential to be really big. The one knock on Brian Kelly, who left Notre Dame as the all-time, you know, wins leader with the program, You know, he obviously took them to a college football playoff, you know, BCS championship. There's a lot of success during the Brian Kelly era. But the one big knock on him was that he could not win big games. And the Notre Dame kind of not necessarily erased that mantra at all, but back during the COVID year, they kind of beat Clemson at home in a really high profile game when Trevor Lawrence was still there, except Trevor Lawrence wasn't the starting quarterback. That was, you know, DJ Ungalale, I believe you say it. Some tricky names today, but, you know, he went in there, and I think he probably honestly had his best game of his college career so far. He threw for like 400 yards, but Notre Dame was able to win that game. But aside from that one, just off the top of my head, you know, there's been not a lot of high profile games that Notre Dame has won under Brian Kelly. And I think that, you know, another example of that was the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State, where the Buckeyes dominated in that game. You know, Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman's first game, obviously some really unique circumstances where he was only on the job for so long. With that Fiesta Bowl, they came out strong in the first half, but you know, really fell flat in the second. Oklahoma State won that game. So, and kind of summarizing all of this together, if Marcus Freeman can go into Columbus and beat Ohio State week one, and I've seen some betting lines, some as high, have Ohio State as high as almost a two-possession, two-touchdown favorite, I think that'd be just absolutely monumental. You know, Notre Dame has pitched to recruits that, you know, they're one of the top teams in this space. And I think that, you know, recruits have told me they believe Notre Dame is one of the best teams in college football, but, you know, on the biggest stage, they have not been able to get it done. So if Notre Dame can go out there and prove that they can beat a team like Ohio State on the road week one, with a new starting quarterback and all those other factors that are going to come into play, I think it has the potential to help, you know, add some momentum there on the recruiting trail.
And last two things here. I know you guys are your forecast, so I'm not going to have you guys, have you put names on who they're going to be. I want you to give me how many more commits does Notre Dame add in a class that already has 12 and is currently ranked number one in the country? And where do they actually finish in the rankings right now on, what is it, May 11th at 4:11 when we're recording this? Where does Kyle Kelly think Notre Dame finishes in the rankings?
Well, in terms of the commits, I would probably have to really break this down by position to get a good feel. But I feel like they're, you know, wrapped up at linebacker, defensive line. They're heading in that direction as well. Running back, they're only looking to add one more in the class. So I have a feeling they'll the one thing with Notre Dame right now is they have the potential to run into a scholarship issue. I think they're over 85 right now. And they're going to have some work to do to figure out how to kind of trim that down heading into football season. So it'll be interesting with the kind of addition subtraction after this class. But I think Ohio or Notre Dame is going to like itself right around like that 23 number, give or take. And in terms of the recruiting rankings, I think it's all really dependent on Dante Moore. If Dante Moore commits to Notre Dame, not only is that five-star profile in terms of the math really going to help Notre Dame, but I think it's really going to help them in the recruiting space as well. You know, just for example, with Carnell Tate, you know, we mentioned that, you know, Ohio State and Tennessee is probably the two teams that look like that are in the lead for him, and that kind of seems like the race, but Notre Dame gets Dante Moore before Carnell Tate commits. I think that they'll give Carnell Tate a lot to think about. And, you know, Dante Moore, one thing he's done a lot on a lot of these visits and on the 7-on-7 circuit is, you know, build a lot of relationships. And I think that his commitment could really play a big part in adding players to the class. But the thing is with Dante Moore is he's taken a lot longer than what Notre Dame would have liked and would have hoped for to commit. So this could be a situation where he doesn't get into the class as potentially as late August. So I think the team ranking is really going to be dependent on Dante Moore. And honestly, if Notre Dame gets him, I think they have a chance to be top three in those rankings with a really decent shot at getting that top overall class. Now, I know Alabama, you know, they always kind of come on strong late in the process. Texas A&M is a school to kind of keep an eye out recently. But, I mean, look at Ohio State. They've really come on strong within the last month and have the number three class by the Rivals rankings. And, you know, I know that I believe Ohio State, they don't even have a five-star yet, right?
They do not. Luke Montgomery and Ty Lockwood are their only top 100 recruits right now.
Exactly. So, I mean, Notre Dame, like I kind of mentioned earlier on, they have the top average star rating at 4.08. It's a very slim margin. But Bama, Auburn, LSU, Clemson, and USC are right behind them with an average star rating of 4. So it's going to be really tough for Notre Dame to hold that top ranking in the class. But, you know, I think that if Dante Moore comes, you know, they really have a chance to finish in the top three. But even if they don't get him, I think they're locked to be top 10 and potentially right around that top five area where they finished last year.
So maybe that's a better question. Since you've covered both, so you'd be perfect to ask this. Who finishes higher, Ohio State or Notre Dame?
Oh, man. This is a tough one.
But that's why we're here.
Yeah. I mean, like I kind of mentioned, the average star ratings, Notre Dame has, you know, a little bit over a 4-star and Ohio State's a little bit under a 4 with a 3.8 with the Rivals metrics. So right now, Notre Dame holds that lead and they have the similar number of commitments. But until I see Notre Dame put on paper that they can do it, I'm just going to have to give the slight edge to Ohio State at this time. And it kind of irks me a little bit to give that prediction, but I just, you know, in covering Ohio State for a year and a half and talking to those kids and reading up and following your coverage and everyone else's, I think that there's a lot of strong vibes around that Buckeyes program. And, you know, they get a outstanding commit this week in the 2024 class and Dylan Raiola. And it's just like, you know, it's kind of the machine. Ohio State is the machine and Notre Dame is trying to become the machine, but I don't think they're necessarily there yet. But boy, this 23 class definitely has the opportunity to do that. But until I can see it on paper, I'm going to give Ohio State the edge, but Notre Dame is going to really make things difficult.
You heard it here first. Dante Moore is the most important target for Notre Dame in 2023. Kyle, this is your first Buckeye Talk, man. Did you have fun? Did you like it?
Yeah, I certainly did. It's kind of unique because I spent so much time listening to Buckeye Talk back in the day. I love the recruiting editions, which I remember a couple of months ago, there was like Futures Fridays, but then the Future Fridays ended up being on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just, I know that's the way things kind of shake out sometimes, but it was it's going to be really cool, I guess, when I listen back to this to hear the theme song and then hear my voice after it. this has been a lot of fun. And I think that Notre Dame is going to make this recruiting, in terms of against Ohio State, highly competitive and hopefully highly competitive on the football field as well this fall.
Yeah, this one's coming out on Thursday. I'm not sure what we can call that one. Throwback Thursday, something. We'll figure it out when we get to that point. This was really great. Like, once again, this is Kyle Kelly. He used to work for us. Now he works for the Rivals Notre Dame site inside Indy Sports, I think is what it's called. You can go check him out at Kyle Kelly. Is that correct? That's your Twitter, at Kyle Kelly.
So by Kyle Kelly, actually. Kyle Kelly.
Oh, you're one of those journalists. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
I am.
At by Kyle Kelly is where you can follow him on Twitter and you can read all his stuff. So if you want to know how Notre Dame is messing up Ohio State's recruiting strategy, that and more. Once again, Kyle Kelly, Stephen Means. And that was Buckeye Talk.